الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يحب المتوكلين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The next attribute that I'm going to speak about, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and this is the attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, is having tawakkul or reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important attribute because the day and age that we live in, we have drowned ourselves in various worries and depressions. And what we don't realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't created us that we handle all these difficulties and worries on our own. That's what we see a young man or a young woman. They're trying various means, different ways and methods to seek help, to get a relief from their anxieties, from their worries, from their depression, their sadness. Some people, they go all the way on drugs, living on drugs. They have these antidepressants. They sometimes even, you know, get to hear about unfortunate cases where people commit suicide out of sheer hopelessness. So the one thing that we lack, even as Muslims, even as believers, is this complete, absolute reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we spoke about taqwa last time, and these two things, taqwa and tawakkul, they go together. In fact, many places you will find that if a person, these are two foundational sifat, that a person needs to have taqwa in their life and also to have tawakkul. But what we need to do is we need to understand, any taqwa is, we explained last time, that a person refrains from those things which are displeasing to Allah. And just like taqwa brings a risk, in the same way tawakkul also brings a risk to a person. It fulfills a person's needs, whatever zuriyah that a person has. Having this tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us in this world, and living in this world, a person is helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So, but before that, we need to understand what exactly is tawakkul. Right? People claim to have tawakkul. People claim that we have reliance on Allah. But tawakkul actually means there are a few misconceptions. One misconception is that tawakkul on Allah doesn't mean that you leave everything upon Allah without making any effort, right? So that's not true. Tawakkul means that you exhaust all the asbab, all the available means that you have, the permissible means, and then you leave the outcome in the hands of Allah. So it's not, doesn't mean tarki asbab. You make use of those asbab that Allah has, and then you rely upon Allah for the result. So no matter whether it's your belief that Allah is all merciful, we need to earn that mercy. We need to make use of those asbab to get that mercy. Allah is the giver of wealth, but you have to earn that wealth. Allah is the giver of hidayah. You have to seek out that hidayah. Allah is the giver of ilm. You have to seek out that ilm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us that we make use of those asbab. And then the second thing to remember is that in our Islam, in our deen, there are a few levels of asbab, means that we can take, we can use, we can utilize. So one of the things that we can use is what you call the worldly, the dunyavi asbab. That is, I think most of us are familiar with that. That whatever, whether you want to attain success in your studies or at your job or at your workplace, etc., whatever it is, we have to make sure that we utilize all the worldly, dunyavi asbab that are available to us, and we use them the best way we can. So for a student wanting to get good grades in their class, You should attend all the classes, do all the assignments, work hard, put in that best effort, best ability. Then on top of that, there is a second level of asbab that we have to make use of, and that is taqwa and the good deeds, the righteous deeds, the amalu salih, making dua, right? So that's the second level of asbab. Allah mentions in the Quran several places that, for example, whoever has taqwa, then Allah will give them a way out of their difficulty. Allah will provide a rizq to them. So we make use of these asbab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our deen. And then after that, using number one and number two, the third level is that one should have this complete faith and absolute reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yani after having exerted all that we are able to do, then we leave the result in the hands upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the outcome. So that is the meaning of tawakkul, having kamal tawakkul on Allah. One of the, you know, some of the times that we're not able to get something is because we don't entirely use the asbab that we're supposed to. Either we're just thinking about the dunyavi asbab and then we fail there and we think that we worked so hard, but I didn't get what I wanted, right? It means that we use one level of asbab, the dunyavi asbab, but we didn't apply the second, the asbab in our deen, or we didn't have this reliance on Allah, the third level, right? So that's why a person may not succeed. So we need to understand this concept of tawakkul, and one of the greatest blessings, if there's nothing else about this concept, one of the greatest things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of this tawakkul, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us his muhabbat. Allah grants us his love. That's why in Quran Allah mentions that inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who have tawakkul. Allah loves such people, loves those who put their trust in him, who rely upon him, who have this relationship where they embrace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the smallest to the largest of matters, we should have this reliance in tawakkul. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice for us in that matter. This is like the beauty of our deen, right? This is so beautiful that we need things for our own self in this world. And simply by relying on Allah, making that effort and then relying on Allah, Allah will become sufficient for us. So if you look at the Quran, there are several barakat, several blessings and several faida or benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about tawakkul, right? So one of the things that a person gets when they have tawakkul is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that tawakkul brings rizq. Tawakkul, it expands our rizq. So this is what I was connecting with taqwa. Taqwa brings rizq. Tawakkul also brings rizq. And that's what we're supposed to do, right? You can, in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ explained this and said that if your tawakkul was like the birds, that they leave their nests with empty stomachs and they return back with full bellies, you will then also get rizq the same way. And we are opposites. We leave with full stomachs and we leave without tawakkul. The birds, they still, you know, look at the birds. The example of the birds is very instructive. They leave to get rizq. So they're making that effort. They try to get, they acquire the asbab. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they return back. Allah ta'ala fills them up. Allah ta'ala gives them rizq. So we should, they don't, the birds are not like us. That they don't think like, you know, my future is so dark that I don't even know how to get this food for the day. It's every day is a new day for the birds, and they always find that risk. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving and promising to us as well. Right? Another hadith, the Prophet said that one time there were two brothers, and one would spend the whole day with the Prophet, and the other would work and earn for both of them. So this other brother, he complained that the first one doesn't help at all. And the answer came that maybe, perhaps you are getting rizq because of him. Right? So sometimes rizq, it comes from ghair zahiri asbab. We focus so much on the apparent asbab, but maybe the barakat of that one work, that ibadah that you're doing, right? That is going to give me benefit. That is going to benefit our studies, our rizq, etc. So that's one thing to remember about this. Then second thing, the second benefit that a person gets is that those who do tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a special treatment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're treated in a very, very special way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to look at some examples of this in the Sunnah, in the Seerah, for example, during the Battle of Badr, we all know that Muslims were 313 outnumbered compared to the unbelievers who were more than 1,000. And the Muslims had nothing but their iman and reliance on Allah. And normally before war, people are spending their time making plans and strategies to fight the army. But the Prophet ﷺ, he spent that time making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did whatever planning was required, but then relying on Allah, making dua to Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down that madad, that help. About thousands of angels from the sky, they came and they helped the Muslim army. The Muslims were victorious. And the Sahaba, they say that we saw people in white garment were fighting with us on the battlefield. And interestingly, the ulama, they mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never took those angels back. Allah left them on the earth for us. And everything is still the same, right? Those angels are there. If someone turns to Allah, if someone turns back to the deen of Islam in the same way like the Sahaba, those angels are there for us, ready to assist and help us, right? Our deen is the same. Islam is the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. The habit of Allah does not change. It's we who sometimes we change and we stop relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another very famous incident mentioned in the Quran that we all know is when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was being thrown inside the fire. An angel Jibra'il alayhi salam came and said that Ibrahim alayhi salam, if you want, I can destroy this town. I can save you. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said that, does Allah know that I'm being thrown inside that fire? And the angel said, yes. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he refused the help of that angel and said, Allah is enough for me. This is reliance. Allah is enough for me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you don't want any sabab from any sabab, right, then I also don't want anything in between. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself commanded the fire to cool down. Ya naru kuni bardan wa salamun ala Ibrahim. Right. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. We look for friends in this world. Right. Look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He took Allah as his friend. Right. Nothing better than to have Allah as your friend. Then another incident that is mentioned in the Quran is about Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam, that her guardian Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, he left her once with insufficient amount of food. And when he came back after some time, he saw that she had a lot of food. And he asked her, where'd she get that food from, those fruits from? And she said, min indillah, that I got this from Allah. And indeed, Allah provides without measures. Right? That Allah gave her fruits that were out of season. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treating, giving a very special treatment to those people who have this reliance on him. Another very famous incident is when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he left Sayyidina Hajra alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam in the barren desert, Makkah Mukarramah. And the only thing Amma Hajra alayhi salam, she asked him was that if he was leaving them for the sake of Allah. And when he answered that yes, it's because of Allah, she didn't argue, she didn't complain. She just said that Allah will take care of us. Allah is going to be sufficient for us. Allah, she had reliance on Allah. And then all of us know when she ran from Safa and Marwa 7 times to look for that water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with water. So much water that she had to say, Zam, 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 Zam. Right? Allah provided them with water from ghayb, from unseen. And it's, you know, every year Muslims, when they go for Hajj and Umrah, it's showing the importance of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We revive that sunnah of Mahajir alayhi salam. We recently were doing the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam at the university. It was when Zulaikha, she locked all the doors. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is trapped inside that room with her. He runs to the end. knowing that the door is locked, I won't be able to open the door from the inside. But still, he runs. He makes use of the asbab. He makes use of whatever he can do, even though outwardly there was no hope. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door for him from the other side. So the lesson we learn here is that when you try your hardest, even when there is no hope, Allah ta'ala will reward you in some way or the other. Sometimes when you try, even when there is no hope, Allah will open up new doors for you. Right? Allah can give you the fruits of your tawakkul. We don't have the big miracles happening in our life, but small miracles can happen and do happen. But they do happen once you try. Once you make use, and then when you leave the result in the hands of Allah, and when you're not hopeless in the mercy of Allah. The main thing is not to give up hope. You do whatever you can, and if you work with that mindset that I cannot be hopeless, I have Allah with me, and Allah will suffice for me, Allah will be there for me, then you will get the help from Allah. We are believers, alhamdulillah, we have this ta'alluq with Allah. We should not be easily getting depressed, right? Those people should be depressed who have no relationship with Allah. We have Allah with us. If you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we just need to trust in Allah that Allah is all powerful over every single thing. Right? We should look at that Zat, that being who's behind everything. That's the real authority. Right? It's not because of our mehnat that we succeed or fail. It's tawakkul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running the show. So Allah says in Quran, right? So the third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about tawakkul in the Quran is that وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That when a person, whosoever puts his trust in Allah, whosoever puts his or her reliance on Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for all our needs. All our needs, Allah will be sufficient. This is unseen, right? We don't see this. We need to have iman on this. But this is what our iman is, iman bil ghaib. That apparently I'm not seeing how will this happen, how will my needs be fulfilled. We just make use of our efforts and then we rely on Allah. And then part of our iman, Allah will bring that iman to fruition. Allah will show how this madad, this help from Allah will come. So the usul we should remember is that these halat, Allah is Mughayyirul Ahwal. That Allah will change these halat. These halat are a test, whether they're good or bad. They're sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah wishes from us is that we return back to Him. We do ruju ilallah, turn back to Him, because these halat will change according to Allah's will. Allah will change these halat. So then the question comes that what if a person has failed in this task of tawakkul? If a person thinks that I have failed, I haven't relied on Allah, what should I do? So first thing is that a person can make istighfar and tawbah, that Allah, I seek your forgiveness for not applying all those asbab that I'm supposed to apply, right? And then in Allah's infinite mercy, Allah would forgive us and bless us with what we want. And the second thing is that a person should also have some level of sabr. Some level of sabr that if you're not getting something immediately, right? Some level of sabr and some level of shukr. That we have so many other countless blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sabr on what we don't have as of yet, and then shukr on all those countless blessings that we already have. And this combination of sabr and shukr, this is very effective. Allah will bless us that. Which those things which are even better than what we lost. That failure that we had, you lost something. If you have sabr and shukr and you have istighfar, you seek Allah's forgiveness, Allahu Akbar. Allah can bless us with things that are better, things which are even better than what we lost. Right? That is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us. Right? So we should try to increase our reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a beautiful hadith about Hazrat Sa'id bin al-Musayyib rahmatullahi, who was one of the tabi'i, and He says that there were two sahih, he's narrating hadith, the two Sahaba, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala an. And once they met each other, and both these Sahaba Ikram were Ahle Kitab, yani before accepting Islam, they already were from the religion of the book, the Ahle Kitab. So then once they met each other, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, he was first a Christian, then a Jew, and then later on he accepted Islam. Allah gave him tawfiq to become a Muslim. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala an, he was initially a Jew, and in fact he was one of the leaders of the Jewish community. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tawfiq to accept Islam. So these two very senior kabair sahaba, senior most sahaba, they were met and they made a pledge to each other, and they said that whoever dies first, then you should come in a dream to me and then tell me what happened. What happened to you? So if I die, then I'm going to try to come and I'm going to tell you what happened. And if you die, then you should tell me what happened. What were your halat? What did you see? Otherwise, this is not something which a person has a choice or ikhtiyar, that you can come and appear in someone's dream. But there are such some righteous, pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when they have this bharosa and they intend to do something for the sake of Allah, and they make a pact or a pledge in the name of Allah, Allah loves them so much that Allah doesn't invalidate their pledge. Allah makes it happen one way or the other. This is also something which the Prophet ﷺ explained in Hadith also, that there are some people who outwardly might be very ragged and shabby and poor, but when they raise their hand and they make dua and they invoke the qasam of Allah, yani Allah ke naam ki qasam lete hain, then Allah has haya and Allah fulfills what their qasam is about. Right? So there are such people who have such a rank, close rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah unki laaj rakh lete hain. That Allah, whatever comes out of their tongue, Allah fulfills that for them. So anyway, these two Sahaba, they made this pledge, and one of them, they passed away. So the other Sahabi was now waiting, said I, for that dream to come and those halat to be mentioned. So it so happened that eventually he saw that Sahabi in a dream, that Sahabi had passed away, and then asked him that, tell me about your halat, what did you see? And he replied and said that he didn't tell all the halat about what he saw. However, in the hadith there's mentioned one thing, there's one sentence which is relevant for us in terms of our amal. So he said that after coming into this world, this new world, which is the afterworld, one thing which I felt I needed the most, any one thing jiski mujhe shiddat se ehsaas hua, I felt that I wish I had this even more than the amount that I already have. And that is tawakkul on Allah. And that is this reliance on Allah. That person's anjaam, his outcome will be the best. Because that coming into this world, this new world, which is the world after a person dies, in this world, other than tawakkul, there is no other sifat or attribute that I saw which will increase the darajat and rank in the stat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu. So this is such an incredible attribute that when a person leaves this world, through this attribute, the more and more reliance we have on Allah, the more darajat the person will be able to get when they pass away. So person, we should try that we increase this reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, There are certain du'as that we should also make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah increase me in my tawakkul. And we should have this general habit of just doing ruju' ila Allah, turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, right? So the summary is that we don't leave our asbab, we make use of our asbab, but we don't get so caught up in those asbab. Rather, our bharosa, our etimad, our reliance should be on Allah. These asbab on their own are nothing. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's running the show. Allah is musabbibul ahwal. Allah is musabbibul asbab. He is running the show. It's like a puppet, right? When you guys were young, some of you might have gone to a puppet show and you see these puppets which are hanging on the stage, and there is a thread which is goes all the way up behind the stage, and then the people who are controlling that thread. So in a similar way, it's, there are things which are happening in front of us, but who is controlling everything? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the authority. He is musabbibul asbab. So we should have bharosa, reliance on Allah. And if you want to ask anything, we should ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do tadbir, but then return back to Allah when it comes about the result. That, oh Allah, I ask you that you make me succeed in my efforts. I ask you that you make these efforts successful, make them effective. Allah, you grant me success as opposed to failure. Right? So this is a dua. In one dua, the Prophet actually taught us this in a very small sentence. That, oh Allah, hadhal, Allahumma hadhal juhdi. That, oh Allah, this is my koshish, this is my effort, this is my struggle, which I can do. But my bharosa, my reliance is on you. My trust is on you. So this is what I did, and Allah, my trust is on you. And we can use this sentence for every aspect of our life, whether it's our studies, to whatever extent we make that effort, Allah, this is what I could do, but my reliance is on you. This even applies in Ramadan as well. Then maybe some of us are slacking even our ibadah, not able to maximize in Ramadan, not able to do what we wanted to do in these nights and days of Ramadan. But whatever we are able to do, we do that, and then we present that before Allah, that Allah, this is my juhd, this is my mujahidah, this is my struggle, but Allah, my reliance is on you, my trust is upon you, right? So inshallah, when a person makes this their adab, makes this dua, then for every task you are doing, you're returning back to Allah. And this is the power of tawakkul. That every task, every action, every effort that we are making, we make that effort, and then after that we end with a dua that Allah, this is what I did. Allah, my reliance is on you. And inshallah, because of this reliance on Allah, we'll succeed. We'll get that dawlat, we'll get that treasure. So our mashayikh, they say that how can we make those kinds of mujahidah that the early Muslims used to make? Right, so I would tell you these small techniques, these small little strategies that inshallah, if a person can do amal on them, one would not be mahroom, one would not be deprived. And that small little strategy is what is as follows, precisely this, that we make a habit of doing ruju ilallah. We make a habit of turning to Allah. Any effort that we make after that, we just turn to Allah for a few moments in dua that Allah, I did this, but my reliance, my trust is on you, my tawakkul is on you. Even so, that if a person, they you leave your house for some task and you want your task to be done. And you want the car, right? You want to use the car to drive somewhere, to go somewhere. So you're using the car, that's a sabab. But then you sit in that car and then you make this dua, you repeat this sentence, that Ya Allah, I'm using this, but my reliance is on you. And this is a small strategy, a small technique. If we can make this our habit, that for the smallest of things, from the smallest to the biggest, right, in every aspect of our life, If we can rely on Allah, and we should rely on Allah, and do reliance only and only upon Allah, then inshallah, not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffice for us in all our matter, in every affair of our life, but what is even more, Allah ta'ala will grant us His love. Allahu Akbar. Inna Allah yuhibbul mutawakkilin. That Allah loves those people who put their trust in Him. This is the beauty, the jamal in our deen. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us that we can also turn back to Him. One, I'll just end with this ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us we can repeat this ayat, and this is a way we can attain tawakkul and we can remind ourselves of the importance of tawakkul. We should try to recite this ayat multiple times, multiple times. That ayat is Surah Mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ufawwidu amri ilallah, inna Allaha basirun bil ibad. Wa ufawwidu amri ilallah, that I hand over my matter, all my matters to Allah. Look at the beauty of the meaning. I hand over all my matters to Allah, and inna Allaha basirun bil ibad. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful. Allah sees all of His servants. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to do amal on this teaching. May Allah Ta'ala make all of us people of tawakkul, and through this sifat of tawakkul, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His love. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll end with a dua, inshallah. Subhana rabbil alamin, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. یا اللہ یا رب کریم، آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں، اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما، اللہ اپنی رحمت کی بارش ہم پر نازل فرما، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے، اللہ رمضان المبارک کا مہینہ ہے، اللہ مبارک مہینہ ہے، اللہ اس مہینے کی برکات ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ رحمتوں والا مہینہ ہے، اللہ اپنی رحمت عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ مغفرت کا مہینہ ہے، اللہ اپنی مغفرت ہمیں عطا کر دیجئے، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ یہ تو تقوی کا مہینہ ہے، اللہ ہمیں تقوی کی نعمت عطا فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم، ہمیں توکل کی نعمت عطا فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ یہ تو آپ کی محبت اور ولایت کا مہینہ ہے، اللہ ہمیں اپنی محبت کے اندر آگے بڑھا دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں اپنے محبین بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے، اپنے محبوبین بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہمارا گناہوں سے بچنا تو مشکل ہے، اللہ آپ کے گناہوں سے بچا لینا تو بہت آسان ہے، یا اللہ آپ ہمارے رب ہیں، اللہ آپ ہمارے پروردگار ہیں، اللہ رحمت فرما دیجئے، اللہ مدد فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہم پر احسان فرما دیجئے، یا اللہ یا رب کریم، ہم آپ کو آپ کی کبریائی کا واسطہ، اللہ آپ کو آپ کی شان عظمت کا واسطہ، اللہ آپ کو اپنی خدائی کا واسطہ، اللہ اس جدائی کو ختم فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں اپنا قرب عطا فرما دیجئے، اپنی اپنی محبت عطا فرما دیجئے، اپنے عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما دیجئے، ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، ہمارے روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، ہماری ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت پیدا فرما، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہمیں اپنی معرفت عطا فرما، اللہ اپنی محبوبیت عطا فرما، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ اللہ اپنی ملاقات کا شوق عطا فرما، اللہم انی اسألوک شوقاً الی لقائک ولذت النظر الى وجهك الكريم، اللہ اپنے دیدار کی لذت نصیب فرما، یا رب کریم، یا اللہ اللہ ہمیں گناہوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، اللہ اطاعت کی عزت نصیب فرما، یا رب کریم، ہمارے گناہوں کو مٹا دیجئے، اللہ گناہوں کی یادوں کو مٹا دیجئے، اللہ گناہوں کے جذبات کو مٹا دیجئے، اللہ گناہوں کے برے اثرات کو مٹا دیجئے، اللہ گناہوں کی وجہ سے جو دوری سی آئی ہے اس دوری کو ختم فرما دیجئے، अल्लाह में अपने मुकर्रब अपना कुर्ब अता फरमा दीजिए या रब्बे करीम। या अल्लाह ये महीना आता है, अल्लाह बहुत तमन्नाएं लेके हम इस महीने के अंदर दाखिल होते हैं कि हम ये महीना भी, ये महीना तो आ गया, इस महीने के अंदर हम खूब दुआएं मांगेंगे, खूब इबादतें करेंगे। या रब्बे करीम हमारी उम्मीदों को पूरा फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह उम्मीदों से बढ़कर हमें अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें खाली हाथ ना लौटाइए, अल्लाह हमें खूब रहमतें अता फरमा दीजिए, खूब बरकतें अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें तो मांगना नहीं आता, अल्लाह आपको देना तो आता है, अल्लाह अपनी देन से हमें अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे मांगने को नहीं देखिए, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत को देख लीजिए, अल्लाह आपकी रहमत, अल्लाह आपको अपनी रहमत पे इतना नाज है, अल्लाह कुरान में जगह जगह आप अपनी रहमत का तذکرہ फरमाते हैं, अल्लाह जगह जगह अल्लाह आपकी रहमानियत का तذکرہ है, जगह जगह आपकी रहीमियत का तذکرہ है। या अल्लाह, अल्लाह आपको अपनी रहमत पे नाज है, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से हमें अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी शान रहीमी के मुताबिक हमें अता कर दीजिए, अपने शान करीमी के मुताबिक हमें अता कर दीजिए। रब्बे करीम मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह खैर का फैसला फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हम पर एहसान फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमतों से कबूल फरमा लीजिए, अल्लाह जो दिल की नेक तमन्नाएं हैं अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से उनको पूरा कर दीजिए। अल्लाह आप करीम रब हैं, अल्लाह करीम के दर पे अल्लाह अल्लाह कोई भी खाली नहीं जाता। या रब्बे करीम हमने अपने हाथ आपके दर पे उठाए हैं, अल्लाह हमारे हाथों को भर दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारी झोलियों को भर दीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी रहमतों का मामला फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम हमने रमजान में देखा है अल्लाह फकीर होता है, घर से निकलता है कि बच्चों मैं तुम्हारे लिए कुछ ना कुछ तो लेके आ जाऊंगा, रमजान का महीना है, मुबारक महीना है, मैं खाली हाथ नहीं आ सकता, मिल जाएगा कुछ ना कुछ। अल्लाह अगर रमजान के फकीर को इतनी उम्मीद लग जाती है, अल्लाह हम भी तो रमजान के फकीर हैं, अल्लाह मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह उम्मीद लेके बैठे हैं, अल्लाह हम भी उम्मीद लेकर आए हैं। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हम भी रमजान के फकीर हैं, अल्लाह हम पर रहमत की एक नज़र हम पर भी डाल दीजिए, अल्लाह मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारी झोलियों को भर दीजिए, अल्लाह हमारी दुआओं को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। या रब्बे करीम हमें तकवा तहारत वाली ज़िंदगी अता फरमा दीजिए, हमें तवक्कुल और इखलास वाली ज़िंदगी अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह, अल्लाह हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमत से कबूल फरमा। या रब्बे करीम अल्लाह जो ज़िंदगी अल्लाह बाकी है, अल्लाह आने वाली जिंदगी को गुजरी हुई जिंदगी से बेहतर फरमा, अल्लाह आने वाली जिंदगी को गुजरी हुई जिंदगी का कफारा बना। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह जो नेकी तकवा पे जिंदगी गुजार रहे हैं, अल्लाह आप ही की दी हुई तौफीक है, आप ही की दिया हुआ फजल है, अल्लाह जिस तरह आपने उनको तौफीक अता फरमाई, या रब्बे करीम हमें भी तौफीक अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें भी अपना बना दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें भी अपने बंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह, अल्लाह आपके महबूब सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने फरमाया है के रमजान मुबारक की हर रात में अल्लाह लाखों लोग जहन्नुम से बरी होते हैं। या रब्बे करीम आज के रात में अल्लाह हमें भी बरी कर दीजिए, अल्लाह जहन्नुम से हमें बचा लीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत की नज़र हम पे डाल दीजिए, अपनी मगफिरत की नज़र हम पे डाल दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम आपसे आपको मांगते हैं, अल्लाह हमें अपना साथ अता फरमा, अल्लाह हमें अपना ताल्लुक अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम एक दफ़ा मोहब्बत की नज़र हमारे दिलों पर डाल दीजिए, हमारे दिलों को धो दीजिए, दिलों को साफ कर दीजिए, अल्लाह दिलों को जिंदा बना दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम अपनी रहमत से हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा, अल्लाह जो मांगा है अल्लाह उससे बेहतर अता फरमा, उससे बढ़कर अता फरमा, अल्लाह जो मांगना चाहिए था नहीं मांग सके, अल्लाह आप अपनी रहमतों से हमें वो भी अता फरमा। रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नका अंतस समीउल अलीम व तुब अलैना इन्नका अंतत तव्वाबुर रहीम व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.